Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
Chicken head. And I hope y'all know we are singing the Donny Hathaway version.
The only version we know.
Okay. But Merry Christmas, best friend.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa for the people who don't celebrate Christmas. Are you ready for the holiday season in LA? Which I always feel like is weird as us being New Yorkers. LA Christmas is always a little off.
Yes, but because I just came back from New York, I'm fine celebrating LA. I mean, celebrating Christmas in LA.
We had dinner, right? She was so cold, wrapped up. Like, I hate this shit. She was over.
It broke my nails. My nails.
Really?
Yes, my nails is chopped right now. I got to just basically go to the salon this week and get them cut down and start from scratch. Because my nails broke because of just the brittleness. And I do remember from back when I did live in New York, my nails would start to break during the wintertime. I can't. I'm done with New York. I'm done with the MTA.
It's not going your way.
It's not going my way no more. I do like that you're able to get on the train with your cell phone now, like with Apple Wallet. That's advanced since I've moved away. But other than that, overall, like, I'm good on New York. It's always going to have a place in my heart, but I'm good.
Yes. See, I feel the same way about LA. I haven't been in almost 3 years, so I do need to come next year. Put me on that. Haven't been in a while, but I don't miss it. I don't miss LA. I miss the people and my friends, like, y'all being out there, but, like, I don't miss it. So I think we've landed where we belong and we both are in the opposite coast. So if we need to visit, we can just visit.
Just take a plane ride. I mean, I was traveling. And so I got back on Friday and I've just been binging all my shows, all of them. So I'm ready. I'm ready. And we can get into our weekly grab. So what do you have first, best friend?
All right. So what's grabbing me is I've just really been in this Christmas holiday season. I found another Christmas movie, which I must have just been emotional and a pussy because I cried. It wasn't even a sad movie. I just thought it was really sweet. It was Family Switch on Netflix starring Ed Helms and Jennifer Garner. Basically, they just play parents of three kids. They have a dog that's like supposedly nice life, but they don't get along with their teenagers. And they both just say, oh, I wish you knew what it was like to be me. And then a Christmas angel, if you will, literally grants that wish. So the dad becomes the son becomes the dad, the mom becomes the daughter, and the daughter becomes the mom. And then the dog and the infant switch, which I honestly thought was the funniest one.
Yes.
But it was such a cute, funny family Christmas movie where Christmas was in it, but it wasn't the whole story. Right. And I really like movies like that where, yes, it's Christmas oriented, but there is actually a storyline in the middle of it. It was just such a cute, fun family movie. They have a video showing you how to do their little family shuffle. I might low-key learn it.
Oh, at the beginning of the movie. Okay, so yes. I actually watched that movie too. It is hilarious. For anyone thinking about watching it, and if you're like me and you don't care to watch things that make you cry, please don't listen to Tanea. I have now.
It's just sweet. Because, it wasn't sad. It just
because
was sweet.
After just now, before anytime she would say she would cry, I'd be thinking like, oh, it's one of those emo things. Now with her saying that she was crying all throughout Family Switch, I now know that Tanea is just a crier. Because there is nothing, when I say there is nothing about this movie that will make you cry or even tear up, there is not absolutely one little tiny thing that will garner a tear. So Tanea crying to Family Switch with Ed Helms.
You know what?
I feel attacked. Because that's just what she likes to do. I was cracking up throughout the movie, like a lot of funny jokes. The funniest being when, because the son is like super, into science, really smart. And he's like describing something with his science project. And Ed Helms goes to Jennifer Garner, like, who is his father? And he's like, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it's his delivery, it's his timing, his comedic timing is always so perfect. It's his faces. When they did do that Christmas shuffle dance and he's wearing like a big candy cane on his head. It's
He's so cute because he's in it. I love Ed Helms.
yes.
Like,
Yes. So, really here for the Ed Helms and Jennifer Garner dynamic as a couple. Honestly, I would be here for a family switch too, because
me
it was that
too.
good. And maybe, it could get switched up in a different way with, because it's like a Freaky Friday theme where people, the Christmas angel, but I don't know, maybe something with a neighbor gets switched or and they help. I don't know, but they're just such a funny family. I would love to see them do this again. It was really good
Yes.
from start to finish. I just wanted
I
to add
think what
that.
got me emotional was how they told the story of the switch. And when you saw like the mom understand the daughter understand, because sometimes we don't know the sacrifices our family makes for us. And we always just, it's easier to assume bad intent. So I just found this so sweet. Like the daughter thought this about the mom, but she actually is this. So yes, I
Right.
cried. I'm just a crier. It was a
He is
very
a
sweet
crier,
movie.
y'all, because I'm telling you, it does not garner a tear. If things that are just sweet garner tears out of Taneya, then she just cries for everything.
Just all of it, just
It
everything, but that's
wasn't anything tear jerky, guys. It's really just a funny, wholesome family film.
the sweetest. All right, let's stop judging me. What was your weekly grab?
Yeah, so I'll keep the Christmas vibes going. I also watched, I did watch Family Switch, but I also watched Dashing Through the Snow over on Hulu, starring Chris Ludacris Bridges, roll out, and Lil Ray, Lil Ray Howery. Am I saying his name right? I am. Lil Ray. He's the comedian, right? He actually, Lil Ray plays Santa Claus.
Sorry, it's Little Rel. Little Rel.
What am I calling Little Ray?
Ray, like Little Ray
Little
J. It's Little Rel.
Rel. Okay, Little Rel Howery. I called him Little Rel. Little Rel Howery plays Black Santa Claus. This is the first time. This was my favorite aspect of the film because this is the first time you're really seeing a Black Santa Claus. We have Black holiday films. We have a lot of diverse holiday films, but very rarely do you see someone other than a white person step into the Santa Claus hat. And so you are seeing Lil Rel as the Santa Claus. His name is Saint Nicholas. And
I love that.
yes, Ludacris is a dad with of his daughter. She's about like 8 or 9. Him and the mom are going through a separation. He is a Christmas Grinch. He doesn't have the Christmas spirit because when he was a child, somebody came and robbed their house with the Christmas presents. So he's always just had low vibrations during the holiday season, despite his daughter loving Christmas. So then she's spending time with the dad, and then they end up seeing Santa Claus get stuck in the chimney, Lil Rel. And now they're on this adventure with Santa Claus to, continue Christmas. But Santa Claus is getting chased by these goons. So then they're wondering, they like not there, just Ludacris. Ludacris, he already doesn't like Christmas, but he's like, man, you're not Santa Claus. You just somebody pretending to be Santa Claus. You robbing houses. And so you're actually seeing Little Rel work with Ludacris to reignite his Christmas spirit. And in the end, it just has a beautiful, again, wholesome, with any Christmas movie, you gotta have that wholesome family vibe. Unlike Family Switch, because Family Switch, it's not so Christmassy. It's just based during Christmas, but Dashing Through the Snow is all Christmas, i.e., Santa Claus. So it's just all about Christmas, the Christmas spirit, the elves, the reindeer, which come and help Santa Claus beat some ass. So it also has that comedic flair. And then for us millennials who have watched Ludacris from day one, seeing him now just to step into these dad roles and the family man roles on TV, it's super cool. It makes me feel old, but it's just
I
also,
love his transition. Him and Queen
yeah,
Latifah
he's
and
such a
Ice
great actor
Cube.
too. Like he does
Oh my
really good.
gosh.
He does really good. And
Believable.
I remember watching Lil Rel's Netflix comedy special, and he, you know, bragged about, he was like, I'm gonna play Santa Claus, y'all. Like, he was so happy. So to see him now in this role, because it's a Disney movie. Right. So to see him playing this Black Santa Claus, and I'm like, wow, this is the first time I've seen a Black Santa. It was just super, super, super dope. So definitely check out Dashing Through the Snow. That's on Hulu. Check out Family Switch. Today I already talked about Katie Kane Lane. I didn't get to that one yet, but I'll probably watch it later today or sometime this week because I have Amazon Prime. So I'm like, oh yeah, I need to watch Candy Cane Lane. But there's all these amazing Christmas movies out. And yeah, make sure you are watching them. It helps get you into the Christmas spirit if you haven't already. Because Christmas is honestly the best holiday. And it's all about family. It's all about love. It's all about giving and appreciation. And when you watch these films, that's what it reminds you of. So yes, Dashing Through the Snow.
I know. I have to add that. Like, literally after we finish this, I'm going to watch that movie because I love Ludacris. He's so in his dad era. And I'm here for it. All the good Christmas movies. I like the new takes on it, not the same new corners.
Yes, exactly. The new kind of modern spin on classic Christmas themes in a film, you know?
Mm-hmm. And still giving you that Christmas spirit.
Yes. So what's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is a show we've talked about before. I just want to talk about this episode. It was House of Villains. Uh-huh. Right now, the last episode, they went from their top six to their top five. Just what stuck out to me, I remember when we talked about it before and you met the crew and you were like, Omarosa is so like Team Black, Team Us, and she wants us to win. Mm-hmm. I think that is only if we're not competing against her.
Right.
I feel like she's so Black woman, so Black man. But when it comes to like game or money, she's not like that. I feel like her last, like, first of all, I love the producers of this show because the way they are making her look like a simp, like a girl. Yeah. Your mom is not fucking broke. The guy's like, I'm not a medic. I'm just a producer.
Like, yeah, that's so funny.
The way, if I was her lawyer, I would be annoyed, but then also I'm charging you $400 a minute.
Yeah, no, I'm sure the lawyer loves it.
Yo, like,
they might talk like, about it with their friends, but at the end of the day, they're getting paid off of her shenanigans. So it's like, whatever.
Hello. That's why it's like, I know they're annoyed, but they're also like, you know what, bitch, keep calling me for this arm that's not broke.
Yes.
And it's and I know, like, I know for sure she's mad that she got eliminated. Like, my chest, I can't go back.
It was so ridiculous. I'm so happy that she got eliminated because I was getting worried that she was going to make it to the end, which I just, she doesn't deserve it at all.
But even if she did, I know that this is a game of voting and nobody was going to fucking vote for her. Nobody was going to fucking vote for her.
I was getting nervous that they might. Ugh. I really was. I was getting nervous. Like, I hope they don't vote for her. Like, she needs to go home. Go home.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, she's not a team player.
She kept blaming everybody. Yeah, it was just like, girl, don't go on TV. Just stay home.
Right. Stay home.
Don't go on TV if you don't know how to fucking act. But she just disappointed me. It's such a good show, but she just makes it worse. Like, I was just so disappointed in her. I felt the way that she only antagonized and talked to Tanisha. I'm like, I've never seen her on any reality show support another Black woman. And I started thinking.
Yep.
Apprentice that you talked about. You brought that up on the Donald Trump version. It wasn't all the Black women. Anytime she goes up against another strong, capable Black woman,
right?
She always doesn't, like, I would choose to be with Tanisha. Fuck her Anfisa. Right. I would choose to be with Tanisha.
Most definitely.
The fact that she like did it, it just stuck out to me the wrong way. So
Agreed. But yeah, it's still my favorite show. I'm still mad.
Love it.
It's
Margaret Gilbert is my new name.
Oh yeah, because he called
Johnny Banan.
No, I did not know Bobby Lights was so funny.
I felt like he was drunk that whole show. That
from Love and Hip Hop Miami, it's just a different dynamic. So he was way more in his element on House of Villains, and like from now, I would like to start out. He needs a guest spot on Drag Race. I would like to see him as a guest judge. I want to see him do more correspondent work. Like, put him on the red carpets. Let him interview people. Like, he is comical, naturally flair, funny, pizzazz, likable. So I'm rooting for Bobby Lights. I really like him.
And I want Love and Hip Hop, if they're going to use him, I want them to use him like they use Chaotic. Maybe it's because of the, because Chaotic is funny as fuck. I literally watch clips of Chaotic being crazy on it. I've never watched
but
the show,
but
I
think
watch
that's
it.
What Chaotic is bringing. Bobby is bringing shady
drama,
drama antics. Like, I don't think they're forcing Bobby to do that. I think that's what Bobby is doing for camera time, you know, which is why I used to kind of be annoyed by him. It wasn't until House of Villains that I'm able to see more of his personality and see, like, okay, he actually isn't that bad. Like, he actually is fun. But on My Love and Hip Hop, it's like,
you can't see that.
No, because he's just,
I loved him
he's
on
stirring
the
pot. He's being unnecessarily like, oh, let me read you. Let me tell, like, it's just like unnecessary.
He was a mess. He was drama. But I do, and I say two things. One, I loved him on the show. But two, final thought, I would like Johnny Bananas to replace Joe McHale as the host for season two of House of Villains.
Honestly, I like Joe McHale. Is his name Joe?
Joe McHale. Yeah, he's from Community.
He's perfect. Like, he's perfect. I really enjoyed his presence throughout the season. He's funny. He could read the room. Like, when it was, where was it? It was like an argument happened, I think, when Bobby was yelling at Shake or something, and you could see Joe was loving it. Like, they panned the camera to him. He was eating it up just like any viewer would. He has great comedic timing. Now, Johnny Bananas has all of that, but I just think, like, Johnny Bananas is Johnny Bananas, you know?
He wants the money. He don't want the whole shit. He want that money check. He don't
Johnny
want that
Bananas
whole
is a reality star. Like, Joe McHale, what I'm seeing from him, like, he's a host. He's a comedic host, so...
I just said that because I love them together. I love Johnny and I love Joel. Like, them two made my, like, the shade. I just love them two together. But that's it. Yeah. That was my little
Well, next on my weekly grab is something I know you've been watching. You had to wait for me to watch it. So I finally watched it when I was in New York. Squid Game finale. It was good. It was good. I totally support you trying out for season two.
I think I really am, though. I really feel like I just might just to see what happens.
Mark is interested, too. I would be here for my best friend and my husband competing.
Right. And we could be like the mom and the son, but we like just BFFs.
Yes. Because I knew it was clear as it was getting towards like the middle end that Mai was going to be probably the winner. And it's because I think her elderly mom wholesome persona is what tricked everyone, and
I think so too.
Yeah, because even when
they were sleeping on her,
everybody was sleeping on her, and she was like, she didn't care. Because even when it came out that she won and she's like, oh, I didn't get the money, I'm like, she is lying, y'all. Didn't y'all see her lie her ass through this whole season? She got the money. She just, people were reaching out asking for PayPals and Cash Apps.
So meanwhile, I literally just looked it up and they said the challenge will finally get her the prize money after telling Netflix for 10 months. So she didn't get that money for almost a year. She's finally going to get it.
That's crazy.
I didn't think they was going to give it to her. I thought they was going to say,
the fact that they made her wait a whole year, like, that's crazy. It's like, they should have already made sure that she was set and good. Because now you done waited for everybody to watch the show and you're letting everybody know that now she got the money. That's the dumb part.
But it says that a source told TMZ that Mai signed a contract. I guess they don't want it to leak. So they got to make sure you don't leak that you win before you get the money. So it said in the contract that any other contestants that had the jackpot, it would be dispersed 30 days after the finale aired.
Oh, okay. So they already knew.
That's in their contract. But to your point, I kind of knew towards the end that the edit they were given, I was really rooting for Sam. Because his story
made
me.
Which one is Sam? He was the son?
With the beard. The final three.
Yeah, I liked him. I'm not going to lie. I didn't want Mai to win.
Me either.
I think she did a good job at finessing people throughout the season. I always will go with somebody who was just had more integrity, and it was the other two guys. It was the Sam with the beard and the one with the long hair, Kai, whatever his name was. Mai was sneaky as hell. Mm-hmm. And when she went after Ashley, now granted, I damn sure wanted Ashley to go home. I wanted Ashley to jump through the glass and fall down after she did that. That was so selfish what she did when they had to cross that bridge. So selfish. If they
I knew she wasn't gonna win because God don't like ugly. I knew it.
Yeah, they all agreed that everybody was gonna have to jump just one time. Why did you make that boy jump twice? He jumped like 2-3 times. I was like, stop jumping, make her go. Mm-hmm. He kept jumping and she pissed me off. So I'm not upset that Mai went after her, but I just think that she could have did it a little smarter and instead of letting people know. And then if you look back at the whole season, Mai was playing a mind game through the whole time. The whole time talking mm-hmm. about, I was a single mother. Mai, you old as hell. You was a single mother a long ass time ago. You was not just a single mother. Like,
mind you, she worked for the government now. She's like, right. I had it all. But she wasn't, you know, they all had a story. They all were there for a reason.
She had a chance to go home if that one, the once goofy kid, when she picked him with the game of 7-Up, and he thought when she said, he said, it was you, was it you? And she was like, who's gonna do your hair? That was your clue right there. She was guilty. You could have voted her, you could have picked her and would have sent her home ASAP, but nope, y'all all fell for her old elderly charm. So I definitely think that's gonna now work against people in season 2. I don't see another like elderly person winning again, because now people are going to be more up on that. But I'm looking forward to season 2. It was a good show overall.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it so much. I cannot wait.
It says Squid Game.
I'm gonna read it over the weekend. I saw that they're casting. I have the email address. It's in my phone. I just think I don't really gotta do much, but just, you know, I just think it'll be interesting to try. I don't think I'm gonna make it far. I don't think I'm gonna win. We'll see. We gotta see. But you know what? I think I gotta see what season 2
is. But the one thing I don't want, if you get on that show, do not be one of them crying ass mofos. Please.
We just said how much I'm a crier.
Bitch, oh my God. That's gonna make everybody in the room. They're gonna be like, oh my gosh, Taneya is crying again.
They're going to love me. I'm going to be the comedic relief. Stay tuned just in case you see me in season 2.
Be the comedic relief. Be the comedic relief, not the crying one. The last crybaby who he jumped on the bridge and he fell. I was like, yes, I am so tired of his wimpy ass crying. Yeah,
I'm going to be like the guy who was trying to throw up before he even did the cookie challenge. Like, he was crying and almost puking just because he had the umbrella. That's going to be me.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Oh my God. Okay. But I also need to, I'm going to apply, but I want to see what season 2 of Squid Game is like, because I feel like they're going to base season 2 of the challenge based on season 2 of Squid Game.
Each season is going to get harder and harder.
I'm going to try. You know, let's just see. Let's just see. If I even I get picked. But I got to pick 450 something people. So just let me be number 222.
Okay. Well, what's next on your weekly grab?
Last on my weekly grab is my favorite reporter right now. She is the Barbara Walters, the Oprah of getting the hard hitting interviews with results. Yeah. And I am talking about Queen Z-Way and her ZNN YouTube interview of George Santos. So, if you guys don't know, if everybody has to know, George Santos is a disgraced-ass Republican congressman who just got expelled from Congress without committing a crime or being actually charged with a crime, which is the first time in history. He's also the sixth congressman since, like, independent 1776 to be like, you gotta go. He's been doing cameos, being a hot-ass mess. Z-Way kind of tweeted, like, I should get this interview, and he said yes. I just want to say it's only 11 to 12 minutes, but it has made my week. I'm going to watch it a million times again because I keep finding new jokes. The way she is reading him and he doesn't even know, like, she says, so when can we get you to go away? Like, what do we have to do? And he's just so, like, full of himself. Apparently, he asked 3 times to be paid for this. And Z-Way was like, no, I'm not paying you for this. This is going to get you, like, he's so livid. She asked him about famous political figures, both in the LGBTQ community and the Black community, minority community. He don't know who Harvey Milk is. Harvey Milk is the reason that anybody gay, lesbian, or trans can be in any stage of government. In 1970s, he's from San Francisco. He was the first openly gay person to run for an office and get elected. First person ever. No one was gay and open. He kind of transcended the gay movement in the 70s and 80s. And of course he was killed in the early 80s. He started to kind of, in the height of the AIDS movement, the HIV movement, when people were trying to just dispel him, he was like, no, we're humans. So anybody who's in any but political
George
office.
Santos, wasn't he not openly gay?
Motherfuckers know he gay. He said he had a husband.
No, he said he had a husband named Mark. Like, wasn't he not really like? I just why would he know that? I didn't know who this guy was. You know, I didn't know who Harvey was.
I think he's just a liar.
Or did she just have that question prepared?
She asked him who Marsha P. Johnson was. He said he knew her, but then D-Wade kind of like, how do you know her? He was like, that's a great person. And then D-Wade was like, so what did they do? What did she do? I'm not gonna talk about it, but that was a great person. Then she said James Baldwin. He said, who's James Baldwin? He knew Nicki Minaj and he knew her favorite rap song.
That is so funny.
I just think it was interesting to see. I think I want her to be more involved, especially for millennials and Gen Z in this upcoming like political year, because I think that's what we need. We need somebody that's going to put somebody's feet to the fire. It just was a good relief. She pulled out the Sutton, name them. If you watch Housewives, you'll know. She was asking him to name all the civil rights leaders that he looks up to when he couldn't. But you can just see how fake he is, how phony he is. And if you just want to laugh at somebody, think that they're the shit, but somebody secretly playing them, just watch it. It's only 11 minutes and it's on YouTube, y'all. It's free. But Z-Way, you are my queen. And she dressed like Oprah. It was so cute. She did like a millennial kind of Oprah like look to it. And I feel like she's going to do this for the whole 2024. So if y'all just want to laugh, go watch Z-Way on YouTube.
Here for it. Here for it.
Yes. And what's last on your weekly grab?
So last of mine is Married to Medicine. These last couple of episodes, we've watched them basically ice out Quad from the group for... You know, not a lot of, I think other than Toya, nobody has a real direct reason. They're all just saying like, you know, Quad is just not a real friend. She kind of does disappearing acts. She only comes around when it's basically time to film and it's not a genuine friendship. And so they're tired of it. So they invited her to the trip and then disinvited her and told her to leave. I found it interesting because I can remember the same exact thing being done to Mariah, who created the show. And brought Quad into the group. And Quad was kind of the ringleader in icing out Mariah. So basically just seeing Mariah get redeemed, seeing Heavenly throw everybody under the bus. When I say Heavenly threw everybody under the bus, she threw Quad under the bus. She threw Dr. Jackie under the bus. She threw Phaedra under the bus. She threw Toya. She threw everybody under the bus because
Heavenly don't give a damn about nobody but Heavenly.
That damn, if you tell her, and it's like that's why I'm like, I don't even know why people would tell her anything because she's gonna just throw it up when the cameras is rolling. That's just what she does. And but then to see phony Phaedra jumping ship on Quad when she was the one trying to bring Quad back into the group, but as soon as she sees that nobody's trying to rock with Quad, now all of a sudden. Phaedra's not rocking with Quad either. And it's just like real funny. But then you kind of see the basis of their friendship was fake because Heavenly, throwing people under the bus, lets it be known that Quad was basically talking about Phaedra behind her back, saying that she did date Dr. G and he didn't want to date her because she was asking him for money. So I found that very, very funny. And then my overall takeaway is basically like, why is Jackie and Simone full-time? Now, granted, I love Jackie. That's my overall. But I just don't get it. I really just don't get it. I do like what Jackie brings, you know, as just being a doctor, OBGYN. She has celebrity clients. She had this one little sit down with Kamala Harris with the Black maternal health crisis. It's all good and great, but those are still all things that she can do as a friend.
Right. I get Simone more than Jackie, especially because her Married to Medicine ain't been showing up.
But that storyline has been run dry.
Right.
And after her and Cecil decided not to get the divorce, it's like it's been run dry. There's no storyline there at all. So now y'all icing out.
Storyline of her son. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to see her and Cecil parent differently. You could tell she's like, get the fuck out. And he's like, no, my boy. So I kind of, but I also don't think she needs to be full time. So I think she could be a friend. Yeah.
The boy is not These are grown ass boys. They are in college. They are out. They like they're out the house. I kind of in a way am feeling like, are they holding on to this for a storyline? Because it's just like,
oh,
there's just nothing there. These are grown ass men. So I'm just not getting it. But ultimately, I believe next season they should invite Apollo and his new wife and make Phaedra work for her check. Because at this point, she's not dating no doctor. If she is dating them, they don't want to be on the show. So if we talking about you're how are you here? You're not even married to medicine, love. Phaedra is not married to medicine, let alone don't even got a man. And ultimately, what is her storyline?
And you know why she turned on Quad? Because Phaedra wanted a fucking check. She wanted a consistent check. So right. They saw that Quad wasn't in a circle. Phaedra's like, okay, so I don't want to fuck with Quad because I need a check.
But let's bring on Apollo. Yes. Apollo is still good TV. Him and his wife are together. I watched them on that one season of Marriage Boot Camp. And you still got a co-parenting relationship. Your kids are still very young. Your oldest is only, what, 12? You still got years to go before you and Apollo don't have to communicate. Y'all have to communicate. Y'all have these two boys. So that's what I want to see from Phaedra. I want to see her co-parenting relationship with her ex-husband that she used to have on Bravo. He is a Bravo alum. Justice for Apollo. Bring him
justice
back.
For Apollo. You know, he just did a little tax fraud. Just a little, you know, little tax fraud. He ain't just strong.
He ain't hurt nobody but the government. Bring him back.
A little bit, you know.
Bring him back, justice for Apollo. Make Phaedra work for that check, boo-boo. Okay?
Okay. I agree. I think that she doesn't have a storyline. I actually thought her and Quad would have been a better, like, Thelma and Louise type. I would have been, right. But the fact that she's treating her, I was very disappointed. Yeah. Like, Phaedra, really take it the fuck over.
Right, because now all it does is really remind you how there's no real storyline. The main storyline this season was with Sweet Tea, Greg, and Quad. So now with y'all getting rid of Quad, what is left? Because the only thing I was really interested to see was the dynamic with Sweet Tea. And let me tell you something with Sweet Tea. I do like her. But it's like, if you already got that mouth area, you don't have to, like, it's like she moves her lips around so weird. It's just so annoying to look at. I'm sorry. It's something with her lips. It's like the way when she talks, it's like, why do you have to move your lips around like that? They already all over the place. But yeah.
What if she can't control that? That's just how she talks.
It's so bad to the point, like when she says anything on screen, I just like by myself in my living room, I'll just mimic it with like,
and I can see you doing it.
Yeah. Just for whatever.
You know what, Sweet Tea? This is going to be our first season. Second season, once Greg starts.
I like Sweet Tea. I want Sweet Tea to return because at the end of the day, like, she's cool. She sticks up for herself. And we already know Dr. G is a hot-ass mess. And it's only a matter of time for, you know, the shit starts to hit the fan about that. So I want the cameras to keep rolling. Sure do. And I did just want to add, I tuned back in on The Real Housewives of Potomac only because I saw the mid-season trailer and I was like, oh, great. There's no sign of any shrine witchcraft storylines. So I watched this last episode with them in the Austin, which is like, that's a horrible cast trip. And I was just happy to see that it's kind of just getting back to just, you know, more actual storylines and not whatever NECA was trying to do with Wendy. I mean, it's clear as day that they don't get along. They don't like each other. That's fine.
Right.
But it's just, I would just like there to, you know, be more focused on other things because that was just such a low period for the show. I saw that Andy had Wendy on Watch What Happens Live, which I liked. And he asked her about it. And she said that it was, you know, basically xenophobic for...
I was just about to say that. Yes.
Yes. For NECA to go that route. Very just kind of disgusting. And you could see a sense of Andy understanding. So we'll see more of that. Wendy did also say that she got words for Ashley because now after watching the show, I'm sure NECA too, because I did see NECA tweet Ashley at the time. Now they actually can see how Ashley really kind of spearheaded them having an issue.
If she would have just shut the hell up and said, meet my friend NECA and let them create their own fucking bond.
Right, because
they don't have no damn storyline. None of this will be happening.
Right. There was already something brewing between them because of whatever with their family. Ashley didn't have to do the whole Osu thing. Like, that was lame. Super yeah. lame. So, Ashley, I really want to see her get dealt with about that, because that's just really not cool. And the fact that you're, like, half white, it's just, like, as a, like, the, it's just, like, it's just not a good look. It's just not a good look. And just overall, seeing Robin get her karma. Like, I couldn't believe that she was really crying when all Candace said is, like, you know, you shouldn't be talking about Juan's legal situations. That's probably, you know, could have resulted. It didn't help in him getting fired.
Yeah. And what Robin heard was she wanted to hear, because she's right. really mad at Juan. Yes. But she's so entangled. Like, you know, when they do the reunion, they say ask questions. I yes. promise you, I'm going to tweet Andy. I don't have a question for Robin. I just see abuse. I just see somebody who's yeah. just mentally yeah. and emotionally does not love themselves. And when you don't love yourself, you will excuse any type of excuse.
She contradicts herself. She gonna yeah. in 1 second she's gonna say, "Oh, you know, people just like to make things about themselves when they have an issues," and then the next second she makes it about herself.
Then and I understood why Candace was crying. I understood. She's yeah. just like, I like you, Robin, but you fake and you running behind this girl. I don't want you to be crying. I don't want you to go through what you put me through. But also, you fake and you ain't shit. Mm-hmm. And then Mia's like, oh, she's not making it about her. They mm-hmm. literally care about each other.
Right.
But yeah.
Because it's like, how can you so quickly forget what y'all did to Candace's husband last season? Like, I just like, you really, do you have amnesia?
And it's one thing, because when they did it to Michael Darby, it was true. He was up to no good.
Right.
Candace's husband is just cooking on Instagram.
Right. And he could have lost his job.
Listen.
He could have lost his job by a woman making an accusation about him being inappropriate. He could have mm-hmm. lost his job, but he didn't. So now you mad because your husband actually lost his job for, you know, granted, he didn't have the inappropriate relations or whatever with the student, but he didn't do something that he was supposed to do.
Yeah. And he basically, right. A student went to him and complained of sexual harassment and he didn't handle it appropriately.
Right.
And then the student ended up getting like catfished.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like naked, or not naked, just compromising photos and videos of the student. And, you know, they said that he didn't handle it well. And I'm like, Robin, you're going to stand by your man, but also like.
And that happened fresh after he got caught paying for somebody's hotel.
Literally. I just be thinking like, you don't love yourself enough to not be embarrassed nationally. Mm-hmm. Like, he already embarrassed you with the hotel shit because everybody think you're stupid. But to watch him talk to you like this and to just, like...
To see like, the difference from when Candace called Chris on the phone to vent and when Robin called Juan on the phone to vent, it was just... Ooh. It just shows clear as day. Stevie Wonder could see that man don't love you.
He don't. And, like, if I call anybody just to vent, you hear right. she's already emotional. Why can't you be selfless and be like, she wouldn't even have this conversation if I was a better man? And you're literally hanging up and mad at her. And I don't feel no remorse for Robin, because it's like, you want to blame the world didn't do this. The world didn't do this, sis.
Exactly.
Juan did it. Juan did
exactly. This. So just deal with your karma. And that's that. But all right, let's get into our piss poor performance.
Okay, who are you pissing on first?
You want me to go first?
Yes.
I am giving my piss poor to Tanisha from House of Villains for voting out Bobby Lights and not Shake. I'm very disappointed in her, because Shake is such a piece of crap. Ugh. When he told Anfisa to shut up twice, it just was so clear as day. This man is repulsive. He is disgusting. I'm sure his toes stink. He is, he's such a jerk. We didn't even see the pinnacle of it on like Love is Blind. We're seeing it more when he's in this group setting where it's like, clear that he has a disdain for women, which is weird.
Yeah.
So Shake is a jerk. I don't know why Tanisha had the chance to send him home and she chose to send home her friend. I was actually really disappointed in that. So for that reason, she gets my piss poor performance.
Tanisha, it's okay. We got to do better. It's okay. Got one more episode for redemption. So hopefully you get it right.
We'll see. Right. Who you got, best friend?
My piss poor, which is not as piss poor, but I just wasn't feeling it, is the season 3 of Ultimate Girls Trip of Real Housewives. It's all Roni, and it's the legacy season. Now, we were talking earlier, and you did bring up a point to, like, why they kind of just, instead of giving them, like, their own, like, consistent spinoff, why they just gave them one season. But I just watched the first episode and I don't plan on finishing it, because the best part about Ultimate Girls Trip is the mix-up. So if you were gonna give us New York, you should have gave us some OGs from Atlanta, some OGs from, like, Miami. I don't think it's only maybe one Leah, but, like, it's not fun and it's not cool when they're all from the same show. Because my favorite thing about the past seasons was giving me a Jill and a Brandy with an Eva, or like a Heather and Whitney with a Giselle and a Candace with some Marisol. I love the mix up of it. And so far from season one, even though I will always love me some Countess Luann, some Sonia, you can tell that Ramona was in the hot seat because she was not getting half of the, like, camera time. You can tell she was edited out a lot, but it's just lackluster. And while I understand the reasoning behind it, the first episode, which is mainly about the fact that Dorinda is still obsessed that she was put on pause. You can't say she got fired because she was put on pause, and she is still, her dying day, going to bat for being put on pause. Okay. I will say, though, Kristen, I can see her on Beverly Hills. Kristen was in Roni season, like, 6 and 7. She only did 1 or 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. But she lives in L.A. now. She definitely gives Beverly Hills, like, vibes. So I'm just not really feeling the thing, though. So
they didn't do the thing. Yeah.
They did not do the thing.
Yeah. I told you I wasn't going to check it out. I never could get into Roni. It just was too white. And it lacked, it just lacked umph to me. So I had no interest in watching the House or Ultimate Girls Trip. I was disappointed that they got one, but from listening to kind of feedback from fans, people are saying they understand why, because there were initial plans for them to get a spinoff, a legacy spinoff. But what people are saying is they can see why it just got cut down to just one season of Ultimate Girls Trip, because they are that boring. And that is always what I said from day one, which is why I never watched that franchise.
Yeah, I liked it, but it was just like, we don't need this. But I think they know. I think they gave this to them to give them, like, a little thing. And now they're going to not do that.
Right. Yes. You can fade to oblivion and periodically come back for different things that we invite you to. Yeah.
I agree.
That's that. Maybe they'll have a little mashup with the current reboot.
I would like to see that. Now, see, I would do 8 episodes of, like, a trip with new Roni and old Roni, because I could see, like, Sai and Dorinda, or, like, Bren and Luann going at it. I would love to see that, but it's not interesting.
I would like to see that too. Totally love to see that, but it's just not interesting with those old ladies all together. It's just not. So, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And now with that, let's get into who we are rooting for, our yes segment. All right, so I will go first. My yes is going to Chastity on Rap Shit for getting a nice, steamy lesbian sex scene in season 2.
Round of applause.
Yes, and garnering a love interest that helped secure a deal for the group, for Shauna and Mia. So that's right, Chastity, pop that pussy. Literally. Be inclusive and diverse and show all forms of love on the show, because everybody else get a sex scene. So Chastity needs one too. And shout out to Jonica Booth. I did just interview her. That'll be coming out this week. And she's just super, super dope. I'm here for her. And the finale of Rap Shit airs this week. And everybody is going to want justice for Chastity. Everybody is going to want justice for Chastity, because we have been watching her from day one, be ride or die loyal for Shauna and Mia. So to see how she gets done, it just ain't right. It ain't right. Mm. And it, but it did end on a good cliffhanger. So first of all, I'm rooting for season three. We just need more people to watch it. We also need it to be marketed better. And
I agree, because they should be on interviews right now, especially because the strike is over. I should see them on
They should have been interviews. Also, too, you know what I just thought of? You know, remember Issa Rae used to do Insecure Fest?
Mm,
that shit yes. has a way better theme and concept to where she could have came up with a dope ass like event series. Now, mm-hmm. granted, it is just the second season and it did start in the middle of a strike. So I don't know if that impacted that, but I just think that that would have already been on the agenda for season one to market this properly, because it has not been getting proper marketing at all. Like literally at all. There are not enough interviews. There's just not enough online content across social media that is garnering the attention that Insecure was getting fresh out the gate.
Yeah. And you've inspired me. I started rewatching it because I watched some of season one, but I want to just do it and just binge it all before the season finale. So I'm caught up for season three. But to your point, I have not seen as much as I would like to of them or even Issa on mainstream media. So I really, really hope that they come back, especially with sexy lesbian scenes, because we like that.
Yes. We here for that. We here for that. Who you got?
So my yes goes to my favorite team from season 35 of The Amazing Race, which just ended. Rob and Corey, unfortunately, did not win. Once I knew they weren't going to win, I turned it off because I was really sad. Once again, Rob is a deaf father and Corey is his son. And I can just tell they are really good people. Even though they lost the show, they've been doing nothing but like fundraisers, going to kids' schools and teaching them ASL. I really do feel like I'll see them on my TV again, but just a good father. They weren't even mad that they lost $1 million. The father was like, I will never probably get this chance again with my son. It was a beautiful time. The son lives out here in New York. The father lives in Riverside, California. I just like seeing good people. And I can tell, like, they're not racist. I can tell they're just good people, a good white man and his son who just, like, want the world to be a better place. So, Rob and Corey, if y'all have your own show, whatever y'all do, I'm supporting y'all. I really wanted y'all to win, but I hope I see y'all on All Stars. So, just shout out to y'all for being good people. And you have a fan. I follow both of y'all now. So, yes.
Shout out to Rob and Corey. Wait, I'm crying today. Okay, remember I was just talking about Sweet Tea. Somebody call her Sweet Teeth.
Oh, no!
They say it's Sweet Teeth. Over here giving Greg his daily ex-wife report. Why you reporting about that man?
Mind you just was talking crap about how she talked and now people coming for her mouth. You know what? Why is Dr. Heavenly giving you an appointment?
I'm telling you, because it's like she already got those big lips. Like, so it's like the way she be moving her mouth around when she talk, it's just like it does a disservice to how her lips already look.
OMG. You know what, Sweet Tea? You need to be using Dr. Heavenly's number. Ain't no way you hate that girl so much. And she a dentist and you ain't getting no Sweet Tea fit. I cannot watch her and not think of you now.
I know that.
Sorry.
Oh, wait. And to spin the block on our Taylor Swift conversation. I froze up when you asked if I could sing a Taylor Swift song. But I remember now. Wait, what was the one that you sang that you could remember of hers?
You think, as you wanna be bad blood. Right. Because you used to be mad with Kendrick Lamar.
The other one I can remember is why can't you see? You belong to me. And then the other one is this her song?
Shake It Off.
Shake It Off. Shake It Off. And wasn't there one? Hey, you, I don't like your boyfriend.
That was Avril Lavigne.
Okay, well, that's it for me.
And on that note,
wait, we got to still do our positive quotes.
No, we got to move on to the positive quotes. That song, I Don't Like Your Girlfriend, wasn't that Taylor Swift?
And I'm sure that song came out like 20 years ago. Where did I go?
That came out a whole couple years. I think Taylor was still in middle school.
Right. When Avril Lavigne was school, like, that song came out. Okay, whatever.
Sorry, Taylor Swift. Sorry.
I just wanted to let you know that I do know Taylor Swift songs. Thank you very much. Okay. So what's our positive quote, best friend? You go first.
Sorry, this is the funniest episode. I've been laughing the whole time. Okay. My quote is, if it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. It's the hard that makes it great. From Mr. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, you right about that. The hard does make it great.
That's what she said. Okay. Let me
Right.
What's yours?
What if I told you that 10 years from now, your life would be exactly the same? I doubt you'd be happy. So why are you so afraid of change? And that quote is by Karen Salmonson.
Oh, I just was going to say Karen Huger.
No. That's the only that Karen we know. Quote. That's the only Karen we know. But yeah. All right. And on that note, our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and really good hair bundles, y'all. I'm telling y'all, it's the new year. We got to get the human hair.
Yes, because remember I told y'all I had the cheap bundles. They were so bad, I had to go back to the salon in a few days and take it out and get a new ponytail put in. Waste the money. Had to waste money on that bad bundles and get some good ones. So no bad bundles, y'all.
We're going to invest in the good ones, y'all, especially for Christmas. Get some bundles for Christmas. And wishing y'all a happy holiday.
Yes, and watch Family Switch and don't cry like Tanea.
Oh my gosh, leave me alone. And listen to Taylor Swift songs and know them. And don't mistake them for Avril.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Happy holidays.